Certainly appreciate the message of this young brother, this young preacher. I like to be around young preachers. I like to be around old preachers. I fit in. Not that I am that old, but I thank the Lord for the blessing to be here tonight and to stand before you. You know, the Lord, when he calls a man, he'll bring him before great men. And I believe that I am before great people, the Lord's people. You know, we're gathered together in royalty tonight.
That's right.
Because you are the royal family. I've been watching a little of the president and his family and others visiting the royal family. And I'm sure it was exciting, but I'd rather be with you tonight. You're the royal family. You're the family of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised us up from the dunghill and set us among princes. He's blessed us. Certainly appreciate the message. I appreciate the invitation to be here, and appreciate Brother David getting me at the airport. And he's been up in our part of the country, and we ain't got over it yet. That's in a good way. But we did. He was blessed to preach to us, and we had a wonderful meeting. A lot of comfort in what our brother has preached, Brother Luke.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of turmoil and anxiety on our part. Not that we would say, well, nothing is wrong, because it is. But when we look up and see what is right, we'll look into God's Word. A lot of things in the Old Testament are for our learning, our patience. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said that the whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And he's talking about the Old Testament. And certainly the Old Testament gives us courage, because the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament.
That's right.
He has not changed.
Right.
He is the same. And because of that, it ought to banish our worries. Now, that doesn't mean we ought not be concerned, but to be overtaken with such worry that it paralyzes us.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to Israel many times. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
Yeah.
Don't be overtaken so that you're paralyzed with fear, that you can't move forward. And certainly we should put our trust and our faith, our hope in the providence of God. Because I do believe he's active. I don't believe that God's up in heaven just with his arms folded and says, well, I'm going to see how it comes out. I do believe that God intervenes. I do believe that he steps in. I can experience that along the journey of life, and you can too. And I'd look back and see where he has. I want to begin tonight in 2 Kings chapter 6, in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp, And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There's a lot of amazing things that we read about in the scriptures. Supernatural things, marvelous things of that which God did for his people. There's a lot of lessons in this. And the Lord knows we can't get them all in tonight. But here we have a situation that the king of Syria warred against Israel. He was a common enemy of Israel, the Syrians. And he took counsel with his servants, and in such and such a place shall be my camp. That is, he was camping, he was planning to overtake them when they come his way. Sort of like guerrilla warfare, you know, surprise. If you come my way, I'm going to ambush you. But the man of God, Elisha, he warned the king of Israel that don't you pass that way. Not once or twice. I mean, he saved him several times, right? And so Elisha knew the strategy of the king of Syria. He knew what he had planned. He knew where they would be. And he warned the king of Israel, don't go that way. And because of this, the heart of the king of Syria, he is so troubled. I mean, he's pulling his hair out. What's going on? He said, somebody among us is a traitor. He said, who is it among us? Somebody is spying. He said, somebody among us is informant. They're letting the people know, the Israel know where we are. Now, I want to know who it is. He's troubled. And one of his servants it's not any of us. He says, it's Elisha. The prophet, he tells the king of Israel, the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now that's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
Here is the king of Syria, what he's planning in his bedchamber, his thoughts, and God's revealing it to Elisha, and Elisha's informing the king of Israel, this is his thoughts, this is his plan. You know, God knows everything, and God knows the hearts of all men.
Amen.
Nothing is hidden from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That is, God pierces the minds of all human beings.
That's right.
He knows everything.
Yeah.
Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. And so we have here a marvelous deliverance or salvation. And certainly we see a supernatural thing here, a spiritual thing. And so, and back up to the fifth chapter. Now, this servant knew something about Elisha, didn't he? I think that he knew what had happened before with Naaman, you know, how Naaman, the leper, was cleansed, and of course, Assyrian. So you come over here to the sixth chapter and you find out that there's a servant. He knows that Elisha is the one that is telling what the king is thinking in his bedchamber. And then the king says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, well, he's in Dothan. And he sends an army down there, horses and chariots, great host, and they compass the city by night. So they surrounded them. And by night, here is this army around the city. And the servant of the Lord gets up early in the morning and he looks out and he sees this great army and they're surrounded. And he is alarmed. He panics. Because he doesn't see the army of the Lord.
Right.
See, he sees the enemy, but he doesn't see the supernatural. He doesn't see the army of the Lord. Now, he sees out of his eyes, doesn't he? I mean, he sees the enemy, but he does not see the army of the Lord. And he panics. And he runs to Elisha. And he says, Master, what are we going to do? What shall we do? We're surrounded. And Elisha said, fear not. Can you imagine what's running through this young servant's mind right now? This old man, he's lost it. He says, fear not. You don't have anything to fear. And what does he say to the young servant? He says, there's more that be with us than be with them.
Yeah.
I imagine now he says, I know he's gone crazy. Here is the army around us. We're surrounded. We cannot escape. And he's telling me there's more that be with us than be with them. Because Elisha sees the army of the Lord. He sees the horses and the chariots of fire. And therefore, he says, fear not. You don't have anything to fear. But he prays for his servant. Now, this is a good lesson for us. He prays for his servant. He says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, I don't think he's talking about his physical eyes. I think he's talking about eyes to see. That is, to see the army of the Lord.
Yeah.
open his eyes that he may see. You know, we need to pray for people, don't we? Open their eyes that they may see. You know, I pray for people. I pray that the Lord would open their eyes that they may see. God's people, open their eyes. I want them to know what I know. I want them to have what I have. I want them to rejoice in what we have, don't you? Open their eyes that they may see. You know, the Lord opens eyes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's an eye opener. He opens eyes to see things that are not seen by the natural eye, are comprehended by the natural mind. The Lord opens eyes. He opens understanding.
Yeah.
He gives understanding. And certainly, it comes from above. I know that.
Yeah.
Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw what Elisha saw. He saw the army of the Lord. What comfort that must have been to him.
Yeah.
It relieved him of his anxiety, didn't it?
It did.
Oh, he's calm as the old prophet now. He sees the army of the Lord. When you see that God is on your side, you are comforted. It relieves stress in your life. It relieves anxiety in your life. And you can sleep at night. When you have your eyes fixed upon the Lord and what great things he does for his people. In this situation, the Lord came to the rescue, and the army surrounded, that is, the army of the Lord surrounded Elisha and this young servant in protection against the Syrian army.
Yeah.
And here we find that Elijah prayed to the Lord, and he says to the Lord, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." Now, he prays that the enemy may be smitten with blindness. And so blindness comes upon the Syrians.
Yeah.
They don't know where to go. But Elisha says unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me." Here, Elisha, he's leading a whole host, an army of men, and "I'll bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. Now, I want us to look at this. Here's an army that Elisha's leading to Samaria. You think they were really physically blind? They may have been. But he's leading them. I mean, they don't know the way to go. He's leading them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of the men that they may see." Now he's praying that their eyes would be opened. And he opened their eyes, and they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" He answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with sword and with thy bow?" See, he led them to the army of Israel. That is the enemy. "Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. You see what happened? The enemy... You know, there's a scripture in the Bible says that If a man's ways please the Lord, he'd make the enemy be at peace with him. And that is true, that when a man's ways please the Lord, God has control over the enemy. Somebody says, I can't wait till I get vengeance on them. Look, vengeance is not ours, it's the Lord's.
Amen.
God can take care of any enemy. I don't care how big he is, how many there are. He can take care of them.
Yeah.
Our main thing is just to do what God would have us to do.
Yeah.
And here we find a lesson that this army was fed and they went away in peace. They didn't come back into Israel. There's a lot of lessons in this and a lot of things that we can glean tonight from the Old Testament, from this lesson. We pray that the Lord will open the eyes of His people and that the gospel might be preached. And I believe in preaching the gospel. But I know that the Lord must be in the matter to open the eyes of His children. You know, God, through His Word, by His Spirit, we don't want to leave the Spirit of the Lord out of any matter, do we?
Amen.
Now, when we come together, do we pray that the Spirit of the Lord might be manifest and that He might come down?
Yeah.
You might be troubled about something tonight. Your eyes may need to be opened.
Yeah.
That God is looking upon you in mercy and that He'll take care of the situation in His own way. That God is so wise and He's so prudent and He's God. And we can always look to Him in every situation of life. We need to be praying that eyes would be open. The eyes of understanding would be opened and that God's people might see what we have.
Amen.
I'll tell you what God's people need. They need what we have. Amen. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell them about it. If they give me an open door, I'm going to tell them.
Yeah.
If they invite me, I say, when you want me to come?
Yeah.
And I've tried to do that. I've preached in colleges. I've preached in Sunday schools. I've preached in Calvinist conventions. Now, they didn't believe what I said. Not all of them. About 20 years ago, I was invited to preach to a preacher's conference in Greensboro, North Carolina. A friend of mine who saw a lot of the things that we believe, didn't see all of it, but he invited me down to their preacher's conference. And so I went down, and there's about 40 preachers there. They were Calvinist. If you don't know what a Calvinist is, it's a person that believes that God has predestinated every elect shall hear the gospel and through that they're going to be born again, or that they will come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, he says, we're going to give you 30 minutes. And I crammed everything I could in 30 minutes. And I started out with the lecture. Well, I got a lot of amens there. I mean, they were amening all over the place. And I preached on particular redemption, how that Christ died for His people. Oh, amen, amen. But I got on the purpose of the gospel, and they were quiet as mice. I mean, I didn't have any amens because they did not believe what I was saying. And I was trying to prove every point by the Word of God. But they did not believe. I was praying that they would.
Yeah.
I was praying that they would. You never know, though, that God might open the eyes. Might open the eyes. Now, I'll tell you why a lot of God's people don't want to believe. Because they don't want to give all the glory to God.
Yeah, that's right.
And they've been taught, it's up to me. It's up to me. there's a lot of steps, you know, that they have. This is a step, and that's a step, and this is a step. A lot of God's people out there. And I'm not one to believe that we're the only ones, that we are the chosen, and that's all that can believe. I don't believe that.
No.
I do not believe that.
No.
Because I've seen people that were that were blind to the truth, their eyes were opened through the truth and by prayer. One of our deacon's wives, she was raised something else. She would come to church. This has been a long time ago. She would come to church with him, but you could tell she was resisting. Oh, she is resisting what was being said. And anyway, they moved to Georgia, and down in Georgia, she said, "I tell you, I got so disturbed about. I'd go with my husband. I got so disturbed." She said, "I don't know what I believe." And she said, "I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, open my eyes." She prayed for herself. "Open my eyes." And you know what? The Lord opened her eyes, and you know what? She joined the old Baptist. And they moved back up home, thank the Lord. I'm going to start stealing sheep if I can't if I can't get them on the outside. I'm going to start stealing some. Virginia's a beautiful state. I'm telling you, it is beautiful. You ought to come and see it. It's like heaven. I tell some of those preachers from Georgia, I said, "You come from Egypt through North Carolina, which is the promised land, and when you get into Virginia, you're in heaven." So I said, "You ought to come and see it." It is a beautiful place. But the Lord opened her eyes, and I've had the eyes of people open, and I've seen those eyes open, their understanding. Another situation I had many, many years ago, which this is another deacon and his wife. Well, she would come a few times, but I could tell she's resisting, and she just become so disturbed. And the brother wasn't a member at the time. He said, "My wife and I have been talking." He said, "We can't talk anymore." He said, "We can't talk about it anymore. She gets mad at me and tells me I'm going to hell and all that." He said, "But she wants to talk to you." I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "No, she wants you to come and talk to us." I said, "When you want me to come?" So I went praying. I said, "Lord, bless me. Bless me to lay out the truth. Bless me in such a way that she will be able to understand." Now, I went in and I sat down with both of them. And I started laying out the scripture. And she started asking questions. And she started saying, "Well, I laid out a scripture. I'd lay out another one." And I could tell she was resisting at first. You know, they'll start resisting. But when you lay it out so plain, and I was praying, "Lord, open her eyes. Open her eyes." Well, after about 2 hours, and laying out everything that I could. I didn't want to bombard her all, you know, but there's an open door. And so I laid it out. And she kept asking questions. And at the end, I could see her melting. Her heart melted. I could see her coming around. And there's tears. Yeah, there's tears. And she said, "You know, it can't be any other way, can it?" I said, "It's not any other way." And she started coming to church with him. And a few Sundays, I looked back there and she was trembling. And here she come. Now, he wasn't a member. He's right behind her. And he'd been raised an old Baptist. Can you imagine? And both of them joined. that day and baptized her. And she's been such a faithful, they've both been such faithful members of the church. You see, I believe the Lord opens eyes. Yeah. I do believe that. I do believe that He blinds eyes also. A person can be so defiant. A child of God can be so defiant that God will hide it from them. He will. He will hide it from them. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, we find that the Lord Jesus prayed a prayer. And He says, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now, there's a reason that God hid these things from, because they're wise and prudent. I mean, it tells you right there why He hid these things from the wise and prudent, that is, the worldly wise in His day, and you can carry it on into any day, the wise and the prudent. They're so wise in themselves. Yeah. Did you know you can't talk to a person that thinks they know everything?
That's right.
You can't preach to a person like that. I mean, you can try, but they will not hear. He thanked thee, the Lord, the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now, an alien sinner, you don't have to hide anything from him. He doesn't know anything spiritual anyway. And hast revealed them unto babes. So there's a revelation to babes, those that feel themselves to be poor and needy and in need of help and cry out unto the Lord. He revealed these things to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It was good in the sight of God to hide it from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. That is, all things are. We know that they are. But if you're blessed to see the things of the gospel tonight and the God of grace and salvation, if you're blessed to see that tonight, thank the Lord. You thank the Lord. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. That is, your spiritual eyes see. And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Isn't that true? Many wise men, prophets, righteous men desired to see the things that you see tonight and rejoice in. In Psalm 89, the psalmist David said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. For they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound.
Amen.
That joyful sound is the sound of the gospel of God's grace, the sound of the scriptures, the sound of the wonderful blessings that the Lord has blessed us with as the church. And the church certainly needs to be praying. Men of God need to be praying, Lord, open their eyes that they may see.
Amen.
Let us have a door of utterance. You see, I believe that God opens eyes.
Yeah.
But we need to be praying that He would open eyes. And the Lord does open eyes to see. He opens eyes and He blesses us to know the joyful sound. There's people that hear it, but they don't know it. But aren't you blessed tonight? Not only do you hear it, but you know it when you hear it. You know when you hear something that's not right, that's not scriptural. You know, and you ought to know it. You ought to know it. Study, pray, keep moving in this way, and the Lord will bless us. May God bless you.
Amen.
274, the mercy seat. Now, we're going to have a handshake tomorrow after service. I appreciate your kind attention. We're not rushing or moving along hastily. We're taking our time in the service of God, but we're going to be expedient. So we will forego a handshake this evening because of the hour. We don't want to be tedious, but we are always going to publish the open door of the church. So we're going to sing the first three and the last verses of 274. If you're not going to be with us, and we hope that everyone will be back here in the morning at 10:30. We'll have lunch to follow, and then we'll have a very short service after lunch. And then tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a fish fry. And I understand that they are shell cracker fillets. Do you know what that is? If you don't, come and find out. How about that? All right? But for those of you who know what a shell cracker is, that had to be some big shell crackers, amen? If you know what that is, shell cracker fillets. Who knew? But we're at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, so we'll have a time of fellowship. And then, of course, service Sunday morning again. The Lord willing, Brother Danny and Brother Luke will be back in service with us throughout each one of those services. We have Brother John Hancock with us, who's been called as pastor of Old Valley Grove Primitive Baptist Church. We're going to ask him to speak after service, after lunch tomorrow. We're looking forward to that greatly. Please pray for Brother John. He would want me to ask you to begin praying for him tomorrow, tonight. He would. I know Brother John, so please do that. We love them dearly. So, if you would like to give, you can come after service, lay it on the table here or in the table in the back on your way out. The deacons will make sure that that's handled appropriately, and all that is given will go for the expenses of the ministry this weekend. So, give as the Lord has blessed you in your heart. We'll sing the first two and last verses. Let's stand and sing about the great mercy of our God. If you're here and God has opened your eyes, now's the time for you to do something about it. You come down and join the church. If God has shown you mercy and opened your eyes. From every stormy wind that blows from